Hi, this is Circe Wessner. I'm the director of the Museum of the American Military Family, and this is our podcast, Together We Serve. This is the second part of a conversation I have with Christian Durante today. We were in the middle of a lovely conversation, then all of a sudden, poof, and you know how that is on the internet land. It just went, actually, he froze, and then he just disappeared. So we were just wrapping up this little bit about federal service. And we had just talked about, you know, is federal service something that he would recommend to young people? I have to tell you, he's pretty young himself. It's not like we're talking to, you know, an old guy. So Christian is youngish. And so he has decided to make the federal government his career. So we were talking about patience. We were talking about, you know, some of your experiences. What else would you like to say? What were you going to say right before we went poof?
Just want to thank you, doctor, for saying I'm very young. I'm 34 years young, and I'm just, I'm grateful to be a federal employee and allowing, you know, having the privilege to serve my my country, you know. And with federal agencies, what's great is they offer the opportunity for you to serve your country. So maybe military service is not for you, so you join federal service. Mm-hmm. And that's a way for you to serve your country and to give back to both your country and your community. Because a lot of federal employees live in their communities, they give back, and they serve their communities and their country. And federal service is something that I'm very proud to be a part of. And with the VA, it was about 6 months until I got hired as a timekeeper with the Department of Veterans Affairs, but as a nursing timekeeper. And then after 2.5 years, I said to myself, I always wanted a supporting role in law enforcement. And that's when I transferred to Homeland Security. So when federal service, you could decide whether you want to stay in one agency your entire career, or if you want to transfer to between agencies. For me, I'm very happy, you know, where I am. And but there was an agency before the current agency I'm in, you know, now. And you explained yourself, you were with DOD and VA. Mm-hmm. So it depends what you want to do. I will say with federal career, it's a lifelong career. It's something that is a great career path that offers job security, a pension, help benefits and everything. And I feel with this young generation, they move from job to job to job so quick. But with federal employment, you got to give yourself time to, there's ways to get promoted. There's ways to get different experiences. It just takes time. You mature into your position. I've been with the government for 8 years. You explained 20 years. You know, we've had different experiences, but things take time, and patience is key. It's not a career that you, if you're looking to get promoted after 1 year, it's not that. It takes time. It takes time. And it's a lifelong career. If you decide, if it makes it, it's what you make of it is what I'm trying to say.
Right, right, right. Well, and the other thing is for people who do like to job hop, it's very easy in the federal government to look at a different position in the agency you're working for, but also to move from agency to agency. I was a military spouse, and so I worked for the Department of Army, Department of Air Force, the non-appropriated funds. I worked for the VA. And every job. I was a teacher for the Defense Department schools. So every job is different. It was different agencies, but it all added up to a retirement of 20 plus years. So, and the some people, you know, think, well, I have to just stay there and, you know, do it forever. You don't. And if you have a particular niche that you want to work in, the federal government has it. I mean, just the VA alone, it's like a city. Anything you have in a city, they have in the VA. If you're an electrician, they hire electricians. You know, if you're an engineer, they hire engineers. If you're HR, they have HR. And in all of these agencies, if you're in the arts, there are federal jobs that work with the arts. So don't think it's just a desk job. There is so much more, you know, there is whatever you are interested in. There is that in the federal government.
And you mentioned, you know, you mentioned you were a military spouse. In the federal government, they have hiring authorities that make it easier for people to join that have these special circumstances. You mentioned, doctor, that you were a military spouse. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm very open. I have a different positive ability, a disability, mm-hmm. a learning disability. But what helped me is, you know, I got hired through something called Schedule A hiring authority, mm-hmm. you know, and it helped me get a job in the federal government. Mm-hmm. And then help me, you know, serve my country. So there's different hiring authorities for veterans. There's veterans preference,
right,
you know,
right.
military spousal authority,
right.
Schedule A disability hiring authority. There's just there's ways to help people to get into the government right. and to serve. There's over, I did statistics. There's over about 400,000 VA employees. There's 2.2 million, I believe, federal employees in the United States. That's a lot of people serving America in different parts. Like you said, from A to Z, the mm-hmm. government could find the right fit for you. Mm-hmm. And it's just great. And not only does it offer the pension and health benefits, child retention program, child subsidiary, child care. Mm-hmm. is what I'm trying to say, childcare, tuition assistance. So let's say you get into federal government and you need help paying back your tuition mm-hmm. or you have kids and you need help paying for their childcare. The government, the agencies particularly have these programs to help you, these retention tools to yeah. help you.
Yeah, sometimes it depends what you're hired under, what, you know, if it's part of the hiring package, the recruitment package. But, you know, oftentimes if you're moving overseas, they'll pay for that. You know, sometimes they won't. It depends what is in the package, but they want to retain. And I was going to say, a lot of times it seems like it takes longer, but they're being very thorough with their background checks. They're matching your what you say on your resume to the job skills. So there's a lot of behind the scenes that we think it just takes a long time. You know, I'm a great person. I just want to be hired now, but they're doing their due diligence on the other side because it is better for them to get the right fit the first time than to have somebody not be the right fit. Okay, in the few minutes we have left, Christian, is there anything else you'd like to say about your grandfather or federal service or anything?
I would say seek out, you know, to the listeners, seek out your family history, especially if there's a military background. You know, it's up to us to have to educate the next generation. Mm-hmm. The next generation is definitely important to continue this story. And, you know, I'm very proud of my grandfather, very proud of his service. I'm very proud of what he did. The greatest generation is a generation that deserves to be remembered and honored. And I'm just glad that, you know, that I'm continuously serving, you know, both as a federal employee and volunteering as a Coast Guard auxiliary. So not only am I federal employee, but I'm also volunteering federally mm-hmm. as well. So I'm continuing to serve America, and I have the same patriotism that my grandfather had. And mm-hmm. I just say for the future generations, for those that are looking for federal service and you're passionate about, you know, our country and giving back and you want to give back, definitely consider federal service and also explore your family history, especially if it's military history. It's definitely a great thing. And you learn so much more about your family and the history.
Well, I'm actually, we talked earlier and you're going to send me the links to some of the websites that you went on and also to this researcher. I think it people will feel it might be a little easier if they know that there's help out there to help them along with the researching instead of Oh my gosh, I don't even know where to start. So there are people that do this for a living that can point you in the right direction. But I was impressed that he showed you other places to get records. So I think that was really good. Okay, well, now I can say it again to you personally, because last time I was just talking to a blank screen. I wanted to thank you for coming on the podcast. It's been very interesting, technologically not so great, but that's what makes us stay on our toes. At least the dog didn't bark or, you know, something. I hope this has been inspiring and helpful for others who have a few items, a couple of artifacts, or have heard a story or two in their family. Now they want to dig a little deeper. So thank you, Christian, for sharing your grandfather Angelo's story, but also kind of the process of how you went around finding more information about him. And I wanted to remind our listeners again that the podcast has been brought to you by the Museum of the American Military Family. That's us. And our podcasts are supported by New Mexico Arts, the New Mexico Humanities Council, Sandia Area Credit Union, and organizations like Military Brats Seal and Military Brats Registry. And so thank you again, Christian. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you, Doctor. It's been a privilege to share my family's history. Thank you.